Well, he was born in Indiana on May 13, 1931. He became a pastor at age 21. He proclaimed a fundamental Christianity early in his ministry. But his message began to change. He proclaimed miraculous healings. He also claimed to have raised over 40 church members from the dead. In 1973, he found a colony in rural Guyana, South America, which later deteriorated as members defected due to his strong control and his harsh treatment of them. Many might remember on November 18, 1978, more than 900 members of his group, led by this man, committed suicide by drinking poison. 47-year-old leader was later found shot to death. Who was this man? It was Jim Jones, a false teacher. There have been many, and there are many false teachers, from Sung Moon to David Koresh to Joseph Smith to Mary Baker Eddy. These people reject God. They reject His Word. They change the grace of God into a life of the flesh. And we have been seen, we realize that there are false teachers today. They have slipped into the church. And as Jude teaches us, we must stand for the truth of God's Word. A.W. Tozer writes this. He says, in a fallen world like ours, we must not compromise, but be loyal to God, be loyal to His Word, which is the truth. Jude writes that we are to stand for the faith because false teachers have crept in. Well, this morning, we're going to get a look, a closer look at these false teachers as described by Jude. They reject the authority of God and His Word. And as we look at this morning, we're going to see a lot of things. As we begin, let me just remind you where we are. And if you want to, you can take your outline out. It's in the book. It's in your bulletin. And this morning, it's on gray paper. And I just want you to look at it very quickly, and we'll just think about where we are. If you remember, the very opening, that's verses 1 and 2, where it's Jude writing to his fellow believers. In verses 3 and 4, we have the original purpose. He was going to write about the common salvation. But then he said, you better contend for the faith because false teachers have crept into the church. Then beginning in verses 5, 6, and 7, which we took us 3 weeks to go through those verses, we saw he talked about God's past judgment. We saw Israel after they came out of the Exodus, that's verse 5, the angels who, in a sense, we said, kept not their first estate. They had sexual relations with human beings, that was in verse 6, and then Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 7, the sexual perversion that was talked about last time. Well, beginning in verse 8 through verse 16, we're going to see these false teachers, and he goes into more detail. In fact, we're going to see the conduct, that's verses 8, 9, and 10 this morning. Then, and it's going to take us a couple of weeks to go through verse 11 because he says they have followed the way of Cain, the error of Balaam, and the rebellion of Korah. And we're going to see how that fits their description and then the judgment. So there's some things we're going to see in the next 2 or 3 weeks looking at these false teachers. Back in verse 4, he told us this. They change the grace of God into a life of the flesh. They deny Jesus Christ as God, as Savior, and as Sovereign One. As we look today at these false teachers, we're going to see he gives us some details on their conduct in verses 8, 9, and 10. Let's break that down for just a second because we're going to look at verses 8, 9, and 10 this morning. In verse 8, we see conduct. In fact, there are going to be three things that he talks about what these people do. Three different things. Then in verse 9 actually goes with verse 8 because he comes and gives us an illustration, sort of a contrast, showing Michael, who's called the archangel, and his relationship with an event with Satan, and we'll talk about that. And then verse 10 sort of summarizes it by saying, these people, they don't know, and they do know, and their end will be destruction. And so there's some things there. May we gain from this passage, especially as we view these false teachers, as we see what he has to say about them, and may we be ready in our own selves to be able to identify those who teach things that are contrary to the Word of God. Look at verse 8. Look how it starts. He says, yet in the same manner, these men also by dreaming defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties. Notice he starts this. He says, notice in the same way, in the same manner as these. These what? Those three examples that he just gave. He just talked about Israel in the Old Testament, basically. He talked about those angels, and he talked about Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, just as those three groups were in open rebellion against God and God had to judge, he says, in the same way, these men do the same sort of things. He lists three things that they do in verse 8. He says, by dreaming, and we'll talk about what that means. He says, they defile the flesh, they reject authority, and they revile angelic majesties. And that's the way the New American Standard reads it. It says they defile the flesh, which means they live a fleshly life. That's like Sodom and Gomorrah. They reject authority. That's God and His Word. That's what Israel did in the wilderness when they refused to go into the promised land. And then they revile angelic majesties. Now, we're going to talk about that because that's a little bit harder, but it ties back into those angels who kept not their first estate, as we saw back in verse 6. Well, there's a lot there. What are these false teachers doing? Three things. defiling the flesh, rejecting authority, reviling angels. And we'll talk about what that means. Let's begin by, he shows us how they think. Now notice how verse 8 starts. It says, yet in the same manner these men also by dreaming. The word dreaming literally is, it literally in the Greek says, keeping on dreaming. They live in a dream world. That's what we'd say today. We'd say, they live in a dream world. Having turned away and rejected God and His Word, they proclaim false teaching. They live in a dream world. They think that they're something special. They think they're something they're not. They think they're God's messengers. Now, I've told you about this friend of mine that lives in Mississippi and called me several months ago. His name is Eddie Rector. And he says one morning at 2 o'clock, he heard music and he came downstairs and coming out through his TV was some angels singing. He went over and made sure that his television was unplugged and there were angels singing. I said, Eddie, how do you know they were angels? He said, they sounded like angels. I said, okay, well, so there were angels singing and God that day told him that he was going to be a messenger from God. And from that point on, Eddie began to write down things. He calls it the new beginnings. He says that he has been chosen by God to give us the new message. There's the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the new beginnings. And Eddie has been chosen by God to be that messenger. And I said, Eddie, you are now the messenger of God? Oh, yeah, I am. I am. Isn't it great? He said, country boy from Drew, Mississippi is now the messenger for God throughout the world. I said, Eddie, what exactly is the message that God has given you to tell people? He said, well, three things mainly. One, first of all, that the Jews are no longer God's chosen people. Number two, that you don't have to come to God by Jesus. And number three is that a lot of the things in the book of Revelation aren't going to happen the way he said they were. I said, Eddie, that goes directly contrary to the scripture. He said, look, I don't make this stuff up. This is just from God. I'm just his messenger. It's a dream world. And the false teachers think they're something they're not. They think they're some kind of special mouthpiece of God. They think they're someone chosen by God to do certain things. It says by dreaming. They do three things. They defile the flesh, they reject authority, and they revile angelic majesties. Let's look at the first one. It says they defile the flesh. Literally, in the Greek, it says they stain the flesh. They stain the body. That they live by the flesh and destroy the body. God tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, that if you live by your flesh, you shall die. And that's what happens. They live by the pulls of the flesh. They want to do whatever their natural desires are. And remember that we're talking about people who have slipped into the church, that claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, claim to be followers of God. They are living a fleshly life. And we see this. This word literally means immoral excess. It's the same as what Sodom and Gomorrah was doing. That's how he uses that example. Gross immorality. We've seen it over and over that it seems to be in a lot of the false teachers, there's the sexual things involved, such somebody like Joseph Smith and all of the wives that he had, some other things like that. They live to fulfill the desires of the flesh. Verse 4 says they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, which really means fleshly living. It means to live, to do whatever you want to do. And so it says they defile the flesh. See, God's word teaches us to do exactly the opposite. In Titus 2, verse 12, it says, denying ungodliness, we live righteously and godly in this present age as we look for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus 2:12 says we live not, we deny ungodliness and live righteously and godly and soberly. And I want you to understand, that's not some legalistic lifestyle. That is in the power of the Holy Spirit obeying the Word of God. Not set of rules, which some people think that the Christian life is. It is a life living in the power of the Holy Spirit obeying God's truths and principles. They live just the opposite. The Bible literally says here they pollute their own bodies living by the flesh. And it's written in the present tense in the Greek, which means this is what they keep on doing. It's ongoing. How are we to live? Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the first thing that we see is they live by the lust of the flesh. They, as it says here, they defile the flesh. The second thing is they reject authority. Now, this is what Israel did. They rejected the authority of God when he told them to go into the promised land. They said, we can't go. The enemy's too big. And in the same way, they reject God's authority. These false teachers reject authority. Well, what is the authority? It is God and his word. God is the all-powerful, sovereign one. He created us. He redeemed us. He sustains us. He is everything. We come under his authority and we bow to him. And not only that, he has given us his word, which daily we are to live by. We're to take the principles and truths and come under the authority of the word of God. 2 Timothy says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for us, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so we can be mature, so we can be ready to serve and be equipped. Hebrews says that the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Romans says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is our authority. In John 17, 17, Jesus Christ said, the Word of God is truth. They reject that. Jesus Christ not only is the Word of God, He spoke the Word of God. We see it now, that there are false teachers who reject God's Word. There are people who say, you need a second testament, another testament of Jesus Christ. You don't need that. There are some who say that, well, the Bible has all kind of errors. It was written by people. You can't trust the Bible. You've got to have other revelation, as Eddie said. You've got to have the new beginnings if you're going to get all of God's revelation. I did a wedding with a pastor about 4 or 5 years ago, and he's in this town, so I'm not going to mention his name, but he made fun of me the whole time because he doesn't believe in inerrancy. He doesn't believe the Bible's God's Word. He believes it has all kind of errors. And every time I would come to, you know, to meet with him on something, he'd go, oh, you're going to bring that inerrant Bible with you? And I'd go, I only know of one kind. But he doesn't hold to the truths of the Scripture. There are people out there who reject the authority of God, and they reject the authority of God's Word. False teachers. What do they really do? In 2 Peter, don't turn there, but in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, it says, they indulge the flesh and they despise authority. And that literally means they count it as nothing. They say that God's Word, it doesn't mean anything. They only use the Word of God, if they use it at all, to suit their own means. As some would say, that the Bible might be the Bible as properly interpreted by them. They despise the authority of God and His Word. Now let me tell you, there is a truth that's going to happen. Philippians tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day, even though they reject Jesus Christ, even though they reject the authority of God and His Word, one day, every human being, they're going to fall, those false teachers, they're going to fall down in front of Him and admit who He is. Everyone will. We do it now. We fall in front of Him and say, you are the King of kings, the Lord of lords, you are our Savior, we love you. One day they're going to fall before Him. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. What do? They defile the flesh. They reject authority. And look at the third thing, and this is the hard one. It says, and they revile angelic majesties. Now, literally in the Greek it says, they make fun of glories. Of glories. And if we didn't have any other place, we might not understand. Now, the New American Standard translates it, revile angelic majesties. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, it talks about the fact that they revile, talking about the same people, says they revile angelic majesties. The best we can understand that it's really saying they make fun of angels. That seems a little bit strange to us. The idea is there they show no respect for angels. The truth is angels are very powerful beings, created by God, for God. We know that there's rebellion among the angels. There's Lucifer and Satan and the angels that followed him. They're very powerful beings, even the fallen ones. 2 Peter 2, verse 10, listen to this. It says, they indulge in the flesh, they despise authority. He's talking about the same people. And they do not tremble when they make fun of angelic majesties. Now, how exactly do you make fun of an angel? We're not sure exactly what, when Jude wrote this, he doesn't give us any information. He just says they make fun of angels. They put themselves above God and his creations or his angels or even the demons. You know, we see this. Sung Moon said that he was the third Adam that was going to take the place of Christ. Jim Jones said that he was the reincarnate Jesus Christ. David Koresh said he was the prophet of God. Today there are many who make fun of angels. Steve and I were talking before the service about the people that we see some on TV who claim they're going to go after the devil and they're going to bind him and they're going to call him down and they're going to make fun of him. We talk about one songwriter who's got a lot of songs about how he goes after and they're going to bind the demons and all of those things. Listen, you don't want to deal with those things. You don't want to make fun of them. You don't want to have anything to do with them. You want to get as close to God as you can get. You want to get the Word of God in your mind. As the Bible says, you want to draw near to God and He will draw near to you. You want to put on the armor of God. You don't want to be going after the devil. You don't want to be naming names and you don't want to be shouting at him. Let me tell you, he's a very powerful being. You don't want to mess with him. You don't want to deal with him. This says, whatever they were doing, they make fun of angels. And he says that's what these false teachers are doing. Jude describes these false teachers as those who live by the flesh, as Sodom and Gomorrah did, those who reject the authority of God's Word, as those in the wilderness, the Israel in the wilderness did, and they make fun of angels in the sense as these fallen angels who kept not their first estate. Ed Pentecost, who is a retired professor at Dallas Seminary, said this. He says, these false teachers are physically immoral, biblically ignorant, spiritually irreverent. Now, he says a lot in that verse. And then tying right in there is verse 9. Because what he's going to do, he's going to give us a contrast. He's going to use Michael, who is the archangel, who is the most powerful angel. He's going to show how Michael, the most powerful angel, always, in contrast to false teachers, always comes under the authority of God. Because he says these false teachers don't come under the authority of God, and they make fun of angels, and they live by the flesh. He says, Michael, the most powerful of all angels, always comes under the authority of God. He gives us a story in verse 9 that's not found in the Scripture. I mean, if you look at this and you read it and you say, let me see if I can go back to the Old Testament and see if I can find this, you're not going to find it. We're going to see how it fits together in just a minute. In contrast, he's saying to the false teachers, Michael, the most powerful of all angels, always comes under the authority of God and does not make fun of angels, even Lucifer, even Satan. Look at the story. Look at verse 9. Here's what he says. He says, but Michael, the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Now here's Michael the archangel. The best we can tell from the Scripture, when you look in the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation and a couple of other places, that the archangel is the most powerful of all the angels. He is the one that is called the warrior of Israel. In fact, in the Old Testament, he is called the defender of Israel. He is the one in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when Jesus Christ comes, there is the shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Michael apparently shouts at us, he's coming, get ready, in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. It says here that he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses. What is going on? Well, the best that we can tell, and don't turn back there, but in Deuteronomy chapter 34, it's right at the very end. Moses has just given three speeches to the nation of Israel standing on the east side of the Jordan River. The nation of Israel with Joshua is about to go into the promised land. Moses is not going to get to go. God's already told him he wasn't going to get to go. Moses talks to the people and says, okay, now Joshua's going to lead you. Joshua, don't be afraid. Go, baby. Go. And then what happens? God says, follow me. And Moses goes up to Mount Pisgah, which is a mountain on the east side of the Jordan River, and he looked out and he could see the entire land. In fact, the way it implies in the Hebrew, that God let him be able to see everything across that river, all of it from the north to the south. And it says he never came back. In fact, verse 6 of Deuteronomy 34 says, and God buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Baal-Beth-Peor. He says, but no man knows his burial place to this day. See, a lot of times when those guys would die, the people would bury them. When Moses died, it says God buried him. And here's what the story is. The story is that when God got ready to bury Moses, that God had Michael the archangel bury him. Now, let me tell you, there's two books that are called pseudepigrapher, which means false writers. That means they got a name of somebody who didn't really write it. And there's a book called The Assumption of Moses, and there's another book called The Targum of Jonathan, which actually gives this story. And these books were written before Jesus. So many believe that when Jude was writing this, Jude is telling a story that the people would know about. And so when he says, hey, when Michael the archangel was arguing with the devil over the body of Moses, he didn't make fun of the devil. Now, let me tell you what the Targum or the Assumption of Moses talks about. The Targum of Jonathan says that Michael was commissioned by God to bury Moses. And as Michael began to bury Moses or planned to bury him, that the devil came along and objected and basically said, listen, I'm the Lord of the earth. You can't bury him here. Michael is the most powerful of all angels. In fact, I had a person ask me after the first service, now, by the way, wait a minute, if Michael and the devil were there, and the devil was a real, real, real powerful angel who used to be at the throne of God, and Michael is the archangel, what if they got in a fight? Who could win? Well, we know in the book of Revelation that Michael kicks the devil out of heaven. But at this time, instead of dealing with Lucifer, instead of making fun of him, because he could have said, I'm the archangel and you're not. And I work for God and you don't. And I'm going to bury the body, and you're not. He could have done all that. But it says that when disputing with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, he did not make fun of him. He did not dare pronounce a railing, which the word railing means make fun of, judgment. He didn't make fun of him. All he said was, the Lord will deal with you. What's the point? Jude's contrast is that these false teachers somehow make fun of angels. Even the greatest angel of all, Michael, refused to make fun of the devil even when he had the opportunity. Michael always came under the authority of God, and he said, "The Lord will deal with you." So in contrast to the false teachers, Michael comes under the authority of God and let the devil to God. We've seen these false teachers live by the flesh, reject authority, make fun of angels, and in contrast, Michael the archangel came under God's authority, didn't make fun of Satan, he left him to God. And from here, Jude in verse 10 kind of closes this little section out by showing the results of these false teachers. But it's going to be judgment. It's going to be destruction. He does a contrast, though. He says what they don't know, then what they do know, and then their destruction. Look at verse 10. He says, "But these men revile, make fun of things which they do not understand. And the things which they do know by instinct, like unreasoning animals, by these things they are destroyed." He says, here's what they don't know, here's what they do know, and the end result is destruction. He says, these men make fun of things which they don't understand, which they don't know. What is it, the things they don't understand? You know what it is? It's the things of God. They don't understand God. They don't understand God and His Word. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 says the same thing. Peter's talking about the same stuff, and he says, "These men, like unreasoning animals, make fun of things in which they have no knowledge." They don't understand the things of God. They don't understand the things of God and His Word. Why? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "The natural man does not understand the things of God. They are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are taught by the Spirit." They're taught by the Holy Spirit. Without taking the time to look at this, on down in verse 19 of Jude, Jude says these false teachers do not have the Holy Spirit. They're not believers. They make fun of things they don't understand. They say things they don't understand, just like that false teacher that I told you about 3 weeks ago that said that when, and this was the one in Christianity Today, who said that when Adam and Eve were first created, they would fly to the moon and they would swim underwater without breathing. They were really Superman and Superwoman. They could do all that. Where did he get that? That's just what he says. Or like the teacher, Sung Moon, who says that when Jesus Christ came, he failed. That's why he got put on the cross. He failed. He failed to do what he was supposed to do, and they got him and they killed him. And Sung Moon says, "I have come now to fulfill what Jesus failed to do." They talk about things they have no knowledge of. They don't understand the things of God. They don't understand the things of the Word of God. It says these men make fun of things they don't understand, but look at the things they do know. The things they know, they know by instinct. It's by nature. You know what they understand? They understand the flesh. That's what he's literally saying. They live by the flesh. They live like unreasoning animals. They live by the flesh, and the end result will be that they are destroyed. We have seen over and over in this short book of Jude that the end result of the false teachers is going to always be destruction. Back in verse 4, he said there will be condemnation. In verse 6, he said there will be judgment. In verse 7, it says there will be the punishment of eternal fire. In verse 10, it says they are destroyed. And there is a truth here that God is going to deal with people who lead people astray. You ever wonder why in the book of James he says, let not many people try to be teachers, because there is a greater judgment. Anytime a person is supposedly teaching God's Word. That's why we taught about this in Sunday school, that whether it's me or anybody else, whatever's being taught, it better be from the Bible, and you better dig it yourself, and you better make sure these guys are teaching the Scripture. Not about the Scripture, not about stories, but the Word of God. And because people who do not teach the Word of God, people who teach things contrary to the Word of God, He's going to deal with them. And so Jude describes these false teachers as not knowing the things of God, but knowing the things of the flesh, and the end result is destruction. What have we seen? We've seen Jude says these false teachers are like those three Old Testament examples. They live by the flesh, they reject authority, and they make fun of angels. In contrast, Michael, the great angel, the archangel, always comes under God's authority. He didn't make fun of Satan when he had the chance. The end result of these people is they don't know God's Word. What they do know is from the flesh, and the end result is destruction. Let's think about some things we can apply from this passage. First of all, this, and it's one we've seen over and over, that God will judge those who reject Him. It's the truth. It's serious. That's why we see these false teachers. They reject God and His authority, and there will be judgment coming. They will be separated. John chapter 3, verse 18 says, "He that believes is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now, here's a truth that all of us need to think about, especially when we go out in this community, that because all people have sinned, and we've all come short of the glory of God, then that there is a separation coming. But God in His love has sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for all mankind, for every human being. Jesus Christ paid the penalty of sin, wiped out the debt, and He said, here's the provision. If a person will put their faith in Christ, they will never be separated. But if they reject Christ, they will be separated. In this passage, He's talking about the false teachers who've rejected Jesus Christ. Now this morning, I don't know everybody. And there may even be some of you who have never understood this. And if somebody were to ask you, are you going to heaven? You might even say something like, gee, I hope I get to go, but I'm not real sure. Well, I want you to know that you can know for sure. Because God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross to pay for your sin and my sin. And Jesus died and was buried and rose again. And the Bible says if you will trust in Him and Him alone, you will have eternal life. It is not goodness. It is not going to church. It is not promising to do things for God. It is not giving money. It is not trying to be good, because you can't be good. That's why you need a Savior. It's simply by trusting in Christ and Him alone. And my prayer is that there's even one person this morning who has never trusted in Christ, that right where you're sitting, right there, you can put your faith in Christ right now. You can believe He died for you, and you can trust Him to get you to heaven. That's all there is. We that know Christ, be ready to clearly proclaim that message as we go out, because there are a whole bunch of people out there who have been taught things that are not right. They've been taught things that if you do good, God will love you and you get to go to heaven. And that's not true. You can't do good, God already loves you. Here's a second application, and that is, let's be able to recognize the false teachers. They live by the flesh, they reject authority, and whatever it means to make fun of angels, they do that. They live by the flesh. And we see it in the excess of the different things that they have. And, you know, in Jim Baker's book, I Was Wrong, you know what he says? He says that in 1 year he took $1 million bonus when he was at PTL. $1 million bonus, because he was doing so good for God. He took a bonus of $1 million, excess. There are some who are in ministries and teachers who live in $3, $4, and $5 million homes. Bhagwan Rajneesh in Oregon had 90 Rolls Royce. Listen, you know, one Rolls Royce is enough. You don't need 90, right? Excess of the flesh. They reject authority. They add to and they take away from God's Word. You have another testament of Jesus Christ. You have the New Beginnings, which my friend is writing. Continuing revelation from God. I mean, I turn on the television, there are people getting new revelation from God every minute, telling us what we ought to do. They undermine the authority of God and His Word. And then the third part, make fun of angels. About the closest thing I could think of today would be those who are going to say, we're going to go bind Satan, we're going to get him, we're going to stomp on him. I have a friend that says he has gone to a group sometimes that they pray more to Satan and talk about how they're going to get him than they do to Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, you don't want to talk to him, you don't want to deal with him. You want to draw near to God. You want to put on the armor of God, and you want to spend your time talking to your Savior. The third application is, let's come under the authority of our great God, Jesus Christ. We've trusted Him. We recognize He's our Savior, our King. He's the Sovereign One. We are to know His Word. We're to apply His Word. We're to live by His Word. It has been said that the greatest knowledge is knowing God and His Word. May we trust Him. May we obey Him. And may we recognize Him as our Savior and our God. Well, this morning, may we recognize these false teachers. May we know their end. It is destruction. And may we live our lives to serve our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this morning. Thank You for this passage. We know, Lord, it's a hard passage. And we think about the fact that there is a judgment coming, that You will judge those who reject You. And Lord, as I prayed well ago, if there's anybody in this room who has never trusted in Jesus Christ, right where they're sitting right now, they can put their faith in Jesus. They can believe that He died for them, that He rose again, and that He is the one that will get them to heaven. I pray, Lord, they'll trust Him right now if they haven't. Lord, may we be able to recognize those who teach things that are contrary to the Word of God, as we look at the whole idea of living by the flesh and rejecting the authority of Your Word and You and whatever it means to make fun of angels. But Lord, may we be able to recognize them as we look at what do they have to say about Jesus Christ? What do they say about the Bible? What do they say about salvation? Let us be ready, Lord. And may we come under your authority, recognizing you are our God and our Savior. May we live for you. And as we go out from this room, may we clearly proclaim the good news message of salvation. Salvation in Jesus Christ by faith. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.